We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Our thanks, sincerest thanks to the fine folks at WSERAM. They are givers, 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 givers. And you hear that beautiful cut from the Cubs game. And WGN-TV also loaned us some audio, so thanks to them for the Jason Benetti final call there. And Brian, difficult night for the White Sox, difficult time for the White Sox. The Cubs, again, just have to get over that formality of passing the Brewers. Other than that,
one of these weeks. To the phones we go. A lot of people want to weigh in about our 5-5 questions. 312-644-6767 is number. Southside Ron is first up. Morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look here. You know, somebody said this is bad. No, this is atrocious, man. Look here. Either everybody is injured or bad. And then you all mentioned Alec Hanson. What about Zach Birdie, Zach Collins?
Yeah.
I tell you guys, only.
Hey, Ron, we didn't even mention Michael Kopech. He's healthy.
Absolutely.
And you can't bring him up. So you tell me.
Yeah, the only person I really can't look forward to watch is Ronaldo Lopez. And Carlos Rodon, he just got back. And you know what, guys? I know with Mikado and Tim Anderson, they're all young stuff. I just don't see it. I do not
see
it.
So your faith is shaken, right?
It's very shaken. And lastly, guys, if you remember the beginning of the season, Rick Hahn did say, hey, it's a possibility. We could be a little earlier than we thought because they were expecting a little something better than this. And if anybody asked Rick Hahn, because I listened to him say that, he said, I'm tempted a little bit, but it's a possibility. It would surprise us. Surprise us, they did. I did not think that this was just going to be, this is a train wreck. It's atrocious. It's hard to watch, guys. So, yeah, my faith, I don't know, 4 or 5 years from now. And then lastly, everybody talks about the teams that have to rebuild and has been successful. Guys, there's been a whole lot of them that have had, and they haven't been successful. But right now, as of today, this thing doesn't look good at all. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks.
All right,
wow. When Ron's optimism is shot to hell.
I'm telling you, he's not alone. There's really, and Brian, tell me what to hang your hat on. Maybe Ronaldo Lopez isn't going to be as bad as Lucas Giolito. Is that what we're really worried
that's
about?
That's where we're at now.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dylan
boy.
Covey? Oh, my.
Well, this one's not going to make you sound any happier about what's going on because Matt's on River North. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Fellas. Hey, I mean, I'm not a Sox fan, but my concern for them, they got the prospects, but can they develop them? I have not seen any evidence of that, and I think there's a losing culture there. They don't play very hard, I can tell you that. And I think Moncada's a bust. I think he's going to be a bust. He doesn't play hard. And the culture there, they accept losing too easily. Ozzie even said it. The Red Sox are smart.
Moncada was a winner, and then he came here and they taught him to lose. That's what you're saying.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Moncada's a great athlete trying to play baseball. He's got stone hands. He's not being taught, I mean, that's what I think the issue is. Look at his strikeouts are alarming. He's going to strike out over 200 times. I mean, are you impressed with him?
I'm not impressed with anything I've seen right now, to be honest with you, Matt. I'm curled up in a fetal position trying to get through it. That's all.
I guess the question with Moncada, did you think he'd be further along right now? Did
yes.
you think you'd be looking at more of a
yes.
finished product? Not the finished product, but that
yes.
you could see the light at the end of the tunnel and say that's what it's going to look like.
You can always cut down on the strikeouts if you just have them bat left-handed, right? I mean, just don't let them bat
and
righty.
And everyone insists it's too early in his career to take that half away from him.
And it's nothing that you need to do at this stage in the season because they're vying to be one of the worst. The problem they have, too, Brian, and we don't talk about this enough, is that they're one of like a third of baseball that are trying to dump games.
Yes.
And so
they're not alone.
As a result, where are they going to pick? It's not like this. The reward for this agony is not going to be maybe what you imagined it to be.
John is in Rolling Meadows. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How
are
you?
One other thing. Did you see Nick Madrigal has got some kind of leg issue that he was hiding?
Is that why he lost an inch in his
fight? No, he had it during the College World Series or something. So this guy, I forgot about him. I believe he's in Glendale, and he's trying to get some rehab. I'm just telling you, name a Sox player, name a minor leaguer.
Well, maybe that's when they measured him.
I'll give you an abductor muscle.
Measuring him, he was favoring the leg, and he was actually slouching a little bit. That's why he's 5'6".
Yeah, he's 5'7", but he's shorter in one leg, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they have lifts. What's up, John?
Okay, guys. First of all, I've got England winning it all. I haven't missed a game. I'm like Molly. I'm into this thing.
Do you watch alone or do you go to a pub? What do you do?
I do both. I have friends that are into it. My uncle's oldest kid played soccer in college, so he was the one that got me into it, but I like it. I like it a lot. I think Abreu will figure things out in the second half. He's a second half ball player. He'll come around. The question I have, as far as the White Sox go, with Anderson having problems at short, do they put him in center? And one other thing, real quick, I want you guys to talk about this. If, let's say, Rizzo struggles in the second half, will Bryant's shoulder hold up for an entire season? Yeah. I mean, this guy's been having to deal with stuff that he hasn't had to deal with, you know, with the injuries and stuff. Can he stay healthy enough to take the Cubs into the playoffs?
Well, actually,
they're going to have to depend on him.
He dealt with the finger injuries second half last year, and it wasn't just like a jammed pinky finger. It was actually between the fourth and the fifth finger, and it turned out that that was a real issue for him to deal with, but he dealt with it, and how much did that impact him? The Rizzo thing is confounding to me. This isn't the normal Mully 2-3 week Anthony Rizzo slump,
right,
and then he comes out of it. Against lefties, he looks clueless. I mean, he's, 14 singles, no doubles, couple home runs. Does it get to the point where you start sitting him against lefties?
Wow.
I mean, you start giving the J-Hate treatment.
I mean, if you're doing that, and if Chris Bryant is coming back without power, is that the implication there? I think Chris Bryant's been out long enough. He's going to be fine, right? Isn't that the idea that you're dealing with it? It explains what happened earlier. It's almost a relief to know that there was something wrong and it's now healed and upward and onward. As far as Rizzo's concerned, I'm as befuddled as anyone. I don't understand it. There are a lot of players that are running into problems with the shift, and it seems like there is now a way of playing, defending Anthony Rizzo that's causing a problem.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, we have a texter real quickly here. Tell Sox fans to lay off Mankata. For the strikeouts, as a Cub fan, remember Chris Bryant striking out 199 times in his rookie season, which started in Iowa, so I guess he's including the strikeouts at Iowa. I'd have to go back and look. But he went on to win Rookie of the Year that year. I don't think Mankata's going to win
anything
of that nature.
I don't think he's a future MVP either. We're gonna go down to the farm and try to figure something out next, right, Brian? We're going to try to get ourselves updated on if there's anything good going on in the future here for the White Sox. It's Mully and Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That's the voice of Rick Hahn, and he's letting you know that Mike Rodolfo will be getting some Tommy John surgery, so he won't be at AA anymore and he won't be making his way to AAA. And we will, though. Let's get out to Charlotte where we find Mike Pacheco. He, of course, the voice of the Charlotte Knights. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it just seems like every time you turn around, somebody's departing for Japan or somebody's injured or something's going wrong. What do you make of the White Sox rebuild? Are you seeing a better product at AAA? Is it I know they're doing great at A. I know they're doing great at Double A. I think a lot of the guys from Triple A are actually on this team right now. What are you seeing, Mike, as guys go through?
Yeah, I mean, we have definitely seen the increase in talent level. And before Eloy Jimenez got hurt, and, you know, hopefully it's just the 2 weeks that they're talking about with the adductor strain, basically a groin pull. I'm excited to see Eloy. I mean, he's been as advertised. I mean, he's big. He can hit. His two home runs were both really good shots. You know, we've also seen some up and down play. Obviously, with Michael Kopech, he's had a couple of 10 strikeout games, but he's been saddled with a lot of walks. But the talent that kid possesses and the ability to go day in and day out and put up big numbers. I mean, I think that's the one difference we've seen from year to year is maybe they're not progressing as much as we've liked, but you know, coming in any game that, you know, guys like Kopech and Eloy Jimenez, they can come in and do big things in any one game. So I think that's been maybe the big turnaround, big change. And, you know, AAA, it's such a tough level. I think, as you guys know, it's, you know, when the combination of, you know, the quote unquote 4A players, guys that are really good AAA players that are free agents that bounce around from team to team, and you try to mix them in with your prospects and try and get everybody to gel. And that's, sometimes that's hard to do to get a winning product, but, you know, the Knights had their best month in June. So I think we've seen things turn around a little bit, and right now they're in the All-Star break, and hopefully the guys will get refreshed and have a strong second half.
And Mike, I bought into Michael Kopech's swagger and his confidence, and when he said, I believe I belong up at the major league level months ago, maybe even come out of camp, you'd like to hear that. And at the time, you also felt maybe that he wasn't that far away from actually being that guy. And Rick Hahn assured everyone that there were still challenges for him in the minors, and guess what? There were, and some were off-the-field challenges, as we've talked about in the last week or so, that, you know, he had a loss of a cousin who basically was a brother to him. But when you see him day-to-day and week-to-week here, are you surprised he's struggling the way he is seemingly right now?
No, you know, I mean, AAA is such a grind. You know, this level is tough because everybody thinks they should be in the big leagues, right? And, you know, you're facing a lot of times professional hitters, guys that have had some time in the big leagues. So they're more patient than they are at Double A, looking for more walks. So with Kopech, I mean, what's encouraging about Kopech is he's been fantastic here. I mean, he's done everything that he's been asked on the media side. He's great with the media, but he works his tail off. As you guys know, I saw an NBC Chicago piece over the winter about his workout regimen, and his workout regimen is fantastic. So I mean, I think he's got a chance of turning it around. I mean, he's still a young kid, and you guys probably hear this all the time too. You know, when you talk to athletes and you ask them, "Hey, what's the number one thing you want to work on the rest of the year?" And I kind of roll my eyes at it, but I believe it now, and it's consistency. He just has to find that consistency, and really for Kopech, it's working in his secondary pitches and getting more confident with his off-speed stuff. Because we know the fastball is there, and he just has to work on his command a little bit. I would still, if he were a stock, I'd still buy it.
What happened with Donnie Roach? He just felt the opportunity was better in Japan, or the money was better? Why leave when you would seemingly have a chance to go to the major leagues with the Sox?
Well, I think with Donnie Roach, I think it became a case of he had a chance to make some good money tax-free overseas. And I think you know, quite frankly, I think if you can read between the lines, it seems like maybe there wasn't going to be a lot of opportunity for him with the big league club. And I think probably a case of bad timing for Donnie Roach, because I think the White Sox want to see the younger kids. And this is just my opinion, but yeah. So I think they want to see guys who are already in the organization, guys that there's more of an investment in. And with Donnie Roach, I mean, he was fantastic. I hated to see him go. He was, I think all but two of his starts were quality starts. Great sinker ball. I mean, he got a lot of ground ball outs. Fun to watch. Especially, I don't know if you guys know much about our ballpark, BBT Ballpark, but it's a little bit of a bandbox. So when you see a pitcher who's throwing strikes and getting the ball down low and getting a lot of ground ball outs, it's fun to watch.
Are you surprised Giolito struggled the way he has? You know, he had a nice outing last week, obviously, but, you know, after the seven strong starts and the optimism that he built up last year when he got to the White Sox, are you surprised he's gone through this year?
You know what, I am, because, you know, he had his trials and tribulations last year, as you guys just mentioned. You know, he's a little bit up and down earlier in the year, but then he kind of figured it out. He and Steve McCaddy, our pitching coach, really worked together last year very well, and he really started to put it together about this time last year, and then, of course, went up and did great when he got called up. So I am a little bit surprised that he's kind of had the struggles he had. Although I guess his last start, he pitched pretty well.
We know Carson Fulmer is there. Have you seen him? Is he still struggling as badly as he did with the big league club? And let's just talk about pitching a little bit, because you got guys like Spencer Adams down there and certainly a lot of guys that were with the major league club and are now down there. I'm very interested in this. Who's the Brazilian kid? Thiago Vieira. He's supposed to throw
Vieira, yeah.
Like 100 million miles an hour or something.
Yeah, Vieira, he is he's got such a magnetic personality too. I mean, he's one of these guys you'd like to cover because he's very energetic and a lot of fun, and he can throw. He's been really really good at spotting his fastball. He's been really fun to watch. You look at some other guys. Fulmer, let's talk about him for a minute because it's sad in a sense because I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years, and he's just a really good kid. He's a bulldog. I mean, he takes that mound. He wants to compete really hard. You know, he reminds you, like, competitive. You know, he's like a Clemens or a Schilling type, you know, really bulldog type pitcher. And off the field, he's a great guy. But walks, you know, same thing that happened in Chicago. It's kind of reared its ugly head here. It's his command a little bit, and he's been walking too many batters. And hopefully, you know, working with Steve McCaddy, they can figure that out. The guy I'd keep an eye on.
It's confidence, right? It's confidence with him, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the tough thing about baseball. I mean, once you get into a slide, sometimes it's tough to get yourself out of it. And that's why the good thing for him is he has the ability to go out there every 5 days and try and turn it around. But, I mean, he's a confident kid. So, when he gets that back, I think he'll be fine. It's just a matter of finding that. But the guy that I've been really impressed with is Ian Hamilton, who just we've only had him for about six or seven outings, kind of a closer, back of the bullpen type guy. But he's no runs in 6 2/3 innings. He struck out 9, walked 1, and I think he's only had like 23 batters faced, only 4 have reached against him.
Wow.
He's been fun to watch out of Washington State.
We'll let you go, Mike. What about position players? Anybody really jumping out at you? I know Sebi Zavala had been doing okay, and you got Gillespie down there, right? And Ryan Cordell moved up, right?
Well, Cordell, we're waiting for him to come back. He had like a collarbone injury.
Yeah,
of course he did.
He's a Sox prospect. I forgot.
I know, right? I tell you, the guy that's interesting to me, and I hope he stays consistent down the stretch and maybe gets a chance, is Eddie Alvarez. And if you remember Eddie Alvarez, he was the speed skater in the 2014 Sochi Olympics. And he's hitting, I think, in the 280s right now. He's leading the Knights in doubles. Another hardworking kid. His parents were Cuban immigrants, and they would shuttle him back and forth as a kid between speed skating and baseball. I think he'd be a really great story if he could get a call up later in the year. Hardworking kid, middle infielder. You know, he can play second base, can play short. So he's one guy that I've been looking at. Yeah, Sebi's done a nice job. He just started to kind of get his sea legs under him, if you will, from a hitting standpoint. He started off a little tough stretch. I think he was like 1 for 8 or 1 for 9. He's been interesting. And then Eloy. I'd like to see more of him. I mean, he's been – and guys like – when I was – I've been with the White Sox organization or affiliated with them since 2001. I was in Kannapolis for 4 years. Mm. And when we would play Greensboro, they would have – the Greensboro Bats, the Yankees single-A team, they would have a team full of Eloy Jimenez, all of them like 6'4 and, 220.
Yeah, of course, Yankees, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Mike, thanks a ton. Really appreciate you jumping on with us and helping us out here.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
it. That's Mike Pacheco, the voice of the Charlotte Knights. That's kind of fun. I feel better about it.
I like the speed skater. We got that.
Yes,
that's a story. We should get him on. That sounds like a hell of a, stay healthy. First, two words for you: stay healthy.
You back in, Mully? These kids can play.
I'm never out. I'm just observing.
Doesn't sound like it.
I am always in, Joe. You know that. It's just. How much worse can things
be? Well, Mully's happy.
I feel bad. I feel like we're cursing that poor speed skater by even mentioning his name.
Can't talk about the Sox.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Bruce Levine is the Score's baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And it was an interesting night of baseball, both in San Francisco and Chicago. But let's start with the Chicago White Sox, and more importantly, the visiting dugout, where Dexter Fowler made his first Chicago appearance this year on the South Side, for sure. It's been a while since he's been there. But nonetheless, having some difficulties, to say the least, with his contract, with his status with the Cardinals, with the general manager there. There are some subtle differences between the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago and the St. Louis Cardinals. I asked Fowler a little bit about the difference between the Cardinals and the Cubs front office and manager. Give Fowler some credit in the interviews that I was involved with him yesterday. He talked about that he's had to learn from this, too, that there's a maturity level for him, even at this, you know, ripe age of 33 or so right now, and learning in his second year of his contract with the Cardinals. And to his credit, out there early in BP, taking lots of hitting with John Mabry, the hitting coach, and the results were certainly there for him.
Bruce,
go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, when you look at the White Sox, when Rick Renteria was offered the question that is Jose Abreu trying to do too much, carry too much on a losing team, and he said, "Well, yeah, I wouldn't discount that. He won. You know, it's an easy storyline to go for. Is that accurate?"
I think it is, because when I talked to Abreu through a translator for the White Sox yesterday, he said, "Yeah, he might have taken on too much." But that's in his DNA. He's going to be the team guy. He's going to be the player guy. He's going to be the all everything to everybody. And he's not about to change that. He says that's his role with the White Sox, and he's going to stick to it. When I asked Rick Hahn about that when he talked to the media, he said, "Well, this is the first I've heard of that, and you know, I'll talk to Jose about that." So let's see what transpires from that.
Bad news yesterday on both Mike Rodolfo down in the minors going, and I guess not a shocker, but he's going to have the Tommy John surgery. And, of course, Avi Garcia, you know, you bring Avi back and he's hitting the ball well. And, you know, Ricky went to the extraordinary length of telling him, like, hey, don't try to explode. Don't try to run fast. Don't try to. And next thing you know, he's back on the DL. So it's just, Bruce, where's the happy? Where is the good news with the White Sox at any level? It just seems like every time you turn around, there's another three guys hurt. And we mentioned earlier in the show, apparently Nick Madrigal has some sort of a leg issue that he was carrying through the College World Series. So even
he has a little bit of a hamstring, and they shut him down for maybe a week here, and he'll be back probably at the end of the weekend. But it is an epidemic of minor and, in some cases, major injuries for the White Sox. And as I wrote on the website at 670thescore.com, this has been a year where it's hard to really point to the progress that they've made. I mean, you've seen some baby steps for certainly Eloy Jimenez, who's shown, you know, when he's healthy, that he can go out there and pound the ball and advance up. And I think the most disappointing aspect of his adductor injury is the fact that it might stop the White Sox from bringing him up at all this year. That's an injury you have to watch. And, you know, if you look at the White Sox overall, you know, baby steps for Moncada, baby steps for Anderson, baby steps for Giolito and Lopez. It's hard to point to organizationally that they've stepped it up where they wanted it to be this year.
What'd you make of Ken Rosenthal's report that the Cubs have had not only internal conversations about needing a David Ross type, but have now started reaching out to teams and trying to figure out, and maybe not necessarily before the trade deadline in July, the end of July, but an August move after the guys clear waivers and such. Curtis Granderson's name was out there in the report, and Adam Jones. Do the Cubs have a leadership void?
I don't think so, no. I mean, they have their main leader, and that's Joe Maddon. And I think he gets most everything out of that team every day. But, you know, when you have Rizzo and Bryant, who have had injury-plagued down season so far, then the face of the team changes from day to day. I mean, the face of the team this year has been Javier Baez. I mean, that's the new face of the team this year as far as who's been carrying the load. You know, that's that's a little bit of a shift here. And, you know, when you see a guy like Rizzo, you know, pretty much bench because he was either physically, mentally, or both worn out on a Monday, and you could see it if you watch that game. You could see defensively, offensively, he just wasn't there. Benched yesterday, not in a punitive way because that's not what Joe Maddon does, just to give the guy another a mental day off. Then you see a shifting in the leadership on the team. I mean, it happens that way, but I don't think they need to do that. If Brian comes back healthy, if you know, Darvish comes back healthy, and that's certainly a big if, those are two additions, like you made two enormous trades to go into the second half. So I don't know if they need that. I think that they probably need a pitcher, and knowing the way Epstein goes about his business, it won't be a fifth starter. I think they have those. I think it would be a big-time pitcher.
And Rizzo likely to be in the lineup tonight, expected to be in the lineup tonight with Chris Bryant, with Johnny Cueto on the bump.
Yeah, and you know what? That ballpark, you watch, you know, if you watch the last two games and you've watched, you know, games in San Francisco, that's a frustrating ballpark for an offensive player. You can hit the ball 410, 420 feet in certain parts, and it's not going out of the ballpark. So you have to have that line drive mentality, and the Giants have pitched and played a lot better than people think. So, you know, if they go back to what they were doing this weekend, and certainly the Giants are a much tougher team than Cincinnati, but Cincinnati plays you pretty tough. You go back to that approach of line drives and going the opposite way, I think they'll be okay.
Can they count on Drew Smyly for anything? He's had the sim game, and he's talked the other day about getting a rehab start or two before the end of the month here, and we have texters the last couple of days wondering if he's going to be part of this thing in August.
Well, I mean, that was the initial plan when they signed him to the two-year deal, is that he's going to rehab, and by the last 2 months of the season, we might have something here. I don't know if that's something you can count on. I don't know if Epstein and Hoyer can sit there and say, well, we're not going to make a big move here in the next 3 weeks because we think Smiley's going to be the guy. But it does show their discipline for having long-term depth in the rotation and solidifying spots where they know, you know, that you're going to have either a guy that doesn't even meet up to the progress that they want from a starting pitcher, or a guy that gets injured, or two. So I think they were thinking ahead with this, and maybe Smiley helps out. But, you know, if you're going after Richards or you're going after DeGrom, I don't think it changes your mentality these next 3 weeks.
Is it a bad idea, as I think it's a bad idea, for a couple of Cubs, Kyle Schwarber and Javi Baez, to participate in the home run derby? Bruce, I'm concerned especially about Javi kind of developing bad habits. It just seems like, you know, every time a guy gets in that thing, we've seen guys struggle as a result.
Yeah, we've seen guys even wear themselves out to the point where, you know, it's a week or 10 days and they don't even have their swing anymore. And I would worry about it a little bit. But at the same time, I think the players probably deserve the honor to, you know, go there and have that kind of fun. And I think Cub fans deserve the honor to see their great young power hitters out there in a game where most people enjoy the home run derby a little bit more than the All-Star game. I think that's at least maybe that's changing back to the old way now, where the All-Star game is more fun because it doesn't count for anything. But, you know, the home run derby is, you know, must watch for a lot of people, especially people in cities where they have their sluggers in it. So if it is Schwarber and it is Baez, I think it'll be great theater, but there are some concerns there.
You know, I saw, I don't know if it was Fangraphs or baseballreference.com, but one of them had a story that said Nathan Eovaldi might be the best starter available at the trade deadline, and the Cubs were one of 8 or 9 or 10 teams down there watching his last start on, I think it was Sunday. And again, guy coming back from injuries, got an injury history, but was very good that day and has been very good. What's a guy like that going to cost?
I don't know, but I don't see them going after a guy like that, honestly, Brian. I just see if they're going to make a move, it's not going to be an iffy guy with some injury history. If you're going to put forth, you know, a package where you trade Alzolay or you trade Bodie and you trade, you know, someone else off of your roster, it's got to be a for sure guy. You know, somebody that's going to be with you for a couple of years, help you in a championship run right now. Those are the type of deals I think that, you know, Epstein and Hoyer might make. I just don't see how somebody who's been injured or having, you know, a career year is going to be somebody that they project to help them in a championship run this year and next.
It's funny, Bruce. We've talked about it a lot on this show that the Cubs are not in first place, and yet we view it as sort of a formality, just some, you know, you don't want to breach the etiquette, but excuse us, can we just get past you?
Right.
That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like there's going to be any resistance or anything like that. When or if they make some big move, does that change the feeling? Is it just still
going to be? You're talking about the Brewers making a big
move?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Well, I don't think you can discount the Brewers at all. I mean, I just
well, I think
that,
we have. I think
I know,
we're
I
doing
have,
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, and you know, I just think it's a mistake because...
No, yeah, shame on me. I just don't give them the
respect.
Well,
you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's based on, you know, projecting it and watching it like you guys do. The fact that, you know, we saw this same scenario last year, and the Cubs, you know, after the All-Star break, just, oh, we're 5.5 behind. Well, it's time to start playing baseball, and they just zoom past the Brewer team. But this is a different Brewer team. This has veteran guys who can get it done at the top. You know, you're talking about Kane and Yelich. Those are important players that have played up to their contracts so far. If they go and get a big pitcher, I would say they're right there with the Cubs, you know, all the way. That doesn't mean the Cubs won't win 92 or 94 games again like they did last year, but the Brewers might be right there with them. So I think this is a tug of war all the way down to the end.
But the Cardinals are done, right? It's a two-team race?
Offensively, they're lacking. But they have really good starting pitching. If Mozeliak wants to go and get a bullpen guy and an offensive player, if they are in the Manny Machado race, you know, I think that they're going to be there. I just think they have the best starting pitching of any of the teams in the league. So from that perspective, they can stay competitive, but they're going to have to make some moves here, and they're going to have to do it in the next 2 weeks.
If Fowler has that feel good from being interviewed by Bruce, he could be hitting a grand slam every night.
Maybe there's going to be that warm and fuzzy feeling with management.
Wait a minute, and now I get to put the Cardinals on the list of teams interested in Machado, and now we're up to 10, I think.
Yeah, I know. You know, the trade rumor mill is just, it's a joke, isn't it, every day right now? I mean, we're 3 weeks away from the deadline. It's fun for people to look at. But, you know, the serious deals that are going to take place here, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of movement. But, you know, the big names, that's going to go to probably the teams like the Red Sox, Yankees, and Cubs. Those are the teams that are going to have to try to defend what they've done the first portion of the year here. And the Cubs are going to have to make a move to protect themselves against Darvish not showing up for them all year long.
All righty, Bruce. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up as always.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert, and we will continue the conversation in just a bit. We have a lot left for you. We're going to bring in Joe Cowley. We're going to talk to Bigsy before we get out of here. There's a lot to do. And we'll do it for you. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.